FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Henry will have to do it alone. Oh! And here's Raul! He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Euro Show here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. I'm Adriano Del Monte, Matt Bruek alongside me in the studio to take you through the final World Cup qualifier out of the European region. Yes, all the European nations are now confirmed for the 2018 World Cup final. We'll switch our focus as well to the domestic competitions because it's been a busy week, but it's going to get a lot busier with the return of the Serie A, Bundesliga, Ligue 1, La Liga and all the others as well. Some latest transfer news, a big saga concerning an Atletico Madrid superstar who Barcelona are reportedly tabling an offer for. We'll bring you that a little later in the program, and we'd love to hear from you as well at any time. Give us a call, 9944 9999 is the number if you'd like to get involved in the conversation or ask a question at any time. You can also text us 0428 933 45, or you can tweet us at FNR underscore radio. Matt, welcome into the studio as always on a Wednesday morning. Denmark Ireland was the final match this morning for World Cup qualification. The final playoff decided Denmark going through to the World Cup finals.
Yeah, very convincingly. Good afternoon. So it was an early goal for Ireland, which was exactly what they would have wanted after 4 minutes only. So what I saw is like Ireland would struggle to score, and they did it after 4 minutes. And as I said, that would have been exactly what they wanted because obviously their whole strategy is a little bit more defensive. And I thought they might just be able to park the bus after that 1-0, just a little bit like Sweden did against Italy. But obviously Sweden, it became obvious that Sweden's got more quality than Ireland has. And in the end, a 5-1 victory away for Denmark after a 0-0 in the first leg in Denmark. Really, really impressive. And the standout, obviously, Eriksen. He's so good at the moment at Tottenham, and also showed it now on the international level in the national team, scoring 3 goals. So just an amazing form, and it will be a team to look at in the World Cup.
Courtesy of ESPN, here are highlights from a famous 5-1 win for Denmark.
Dinja. Martial.
That's actually the French-Germany clash, which we'll get to later. But 5-1, Lord Bettner scoring the penalty at the end as well. So Christian Eriksen, you mentioned he scored a hat-trick. He had 6 goals in his previous 6 games coming into the playoff round. To have 6 goals in such time and then 3, he's certainly the form player. And you mentioned that would be one to keep an eye on heading into the World Cup. Absolutely. With that sort of resounding result, we have seen now, I believe in the lead-up to this match, 6 successive World Cup qualifiers ending 0-0 right across the globe. To score 5, that is a fair effort.
Yeah, so we had a couple of 0-0s, a couple of very, very close results like the Sweden one, and then we had 2 blowouts, which was like the Croatia-Greece game, and now obviously the Ireland against Denmark game. They changed a little bit of the formation as well, playing in a 3-5-2. Denmark, and brought Christiansen in, who was I was talking about in the last couple of weeks, a Chelsea player, former Gladbach player. That definitely stabilized the backline a little bit. Obviously, to bounce back after an early goal conceded in a very, very hostile environment in Ireland, the fans were crazy, especially after that opening goal. And then they were absolutely silenced because Denmark were just putting on a clinic and scoring so many goals. So they've done exceptionally well, Denmark. They weren't overly happy, obviously, with the first leg, only drawing 0-0. But the coach said beforehand in the press conference, if we score 1 goal here, we're going to go through. So he was very, very confident that 1 away goal would even be enough to beat Ireland. That's exactly what they did. And after they scored 1 away goal, it was a little bit, the will of Ireland was a little bit broken. The football class of Denmark came onto display, and in the end, they absolutely dominated Ireland. Could have been a couple more goals. Just on a side note, very funny. So Bentner came in, He actually got fouled in the box, so it was his penalty. Eriksen wanted to shoot it to actually get a fourth goal, but Bentner said, nah, this is my penalty. He put it away, so typical Lord Bentner moment there.
If you're any Danish or Irish fans out there, give us a call. We'd love your thoughts. Unlucky for the Irish, but obviously full credit to Denmark, 5-1 winners on aggregate, which means now, Matt, that they have completed the list of European qualifiers. The final list is now set, Denmark becoming the 30th nation qualifying for the World Cup. Just two spots remain. So they, of course, join the French, Portugal, Germany, England, Poland, Serbia, Spain, Belgium, Iceland as group winners. And, of course, through the playoffs, Switzerland, Croatia, Sweden, and Denmark. So there you are. Big nations, all advanced. The seedings are set, or the majority of seedings are set, obviously with two still to be played in terms of New Zealand, Peru, and Honduras taking on the Socceroos tonight as well. We'll bring you those seeds, and we'll start speculating about where a few of these European nations may end up a little later in the program today. Elsewhere, though, there were some big European nations in action. We'll get to the Germany-French match very shortly, which is a big one, but a couple others caught my eye. Russia, let's start there. Russia, 0-1 defeats at home to Argentina. It's obviously always difficult being the host nation at a World Cup because, really, in the lead-up to the tournament, you're not playing any competitive fixtures. And for a nation like Russia, who have been at major international tournaments over the journey, to miss out on that opportunity surely can impact in some capacity. Friendlies are friendlies for a reason. Other nations don't always take them so seriously, but if they are your primary fixtures to build a nation in the lead-up to a World Cup in your home country, where I'm sure they'll want to play very well, it is difficult, but great to see them get, despite the result in the first match against Argentina, great to see them put in some half-decent performances.
It's very good for Russia, especially because we all know the league is a little bit different than the other European leagues time-wise, so they play through winter when we've got the winter break in Germany. Obviously, England doesn't have it. But, yeah, we saw this game was very, very, very interesting because Spain with an early goal through Jordi Alba in the 9th minute already, and it looked like it was all going one way, especially after this 2-0 from Sergio Ramos. But Sweden came back. So much talk about Sweden lately. Russia came back scoring two goals to then concede a third from Spain, so Spain being 3-2 up. But then they came back again. So two goals from Smolov in this game and also two goals by Sergio Ramos. It's also interesting for me that the center back Sergio Ramos is taking the penalties at Spain. It's usually not really a center back who would take that. It's probably the only nation I can think of right now where the center backs is the dedicated penalty taker.
Mm. Certainly a big nation as well, like Spain. France, Germany. Germany have been in a couple of big games themselves over the last few days. How they fared, as a German, obviously a massive fan, they've played the French, they've played England. How have they fared and what have you made of their performances?
Well, the performance was very, very poor in the first half. Second half was way better. France, obviously, I was really, really impressed with their pace up front. But you could obviously tell both teams have qualified, both nations have qualified. So they just left like their major stars on the bench or not even in the squad. Germany comes to mind to me, like there was no Thomas Müller, there was no Jerome Boateng, real heavyweights in that squad. Obviously, Royce still injured and other players to come back. France as well, leaving like Griezmann on the bench. What I was very impressed with was France's speed up front. When you really play Lacazette, Martial, and then also Mbappé, that is quality up front. So you really don't want to get exposed. In the end, well, I'm happy that Germany scored in the very last minute, so the whole year went without a defeat, which is a really good achievement. Obviously, topping the qualifying group, 10 games, 10 wins. Having a draw now against England, a draw against France, it's really, really good for your confidence. So it wasn't like the most exciting game. We didn't expect that, but four goals, a draw, probably both nations playing a couple of players that usually don't get a game, so you can get something out of it.
And getting away unscathed as well. You weren't a big fan of the timing of these friendlies for those nations that had already advanced to the World Cup finals, but good to see Germany with a couple of solid performances, and of course they'll be a major contender at the World Cup, no doubt. Courtesy of ESPN, here are some highlights from that French-Germany clash.
Digne. Martial! turned to the linesman. It was his first move, and he saw no flag. Goal stands, France lead. There's the roar of expectation. Timo Werner. 1-1. Smile on the face of Jogi Löw, some animation too. And as the rain pours down in Cologne, it's the man from Leipzig, Timo Werner, who levels this up. Chance here, and very well converted. With complete confidence and total aplomb, Lacazette has his second. Maybe a last chance, and a goal. And it's Lars Stindl. And Germany have this in their DNA. They just will not be beaten.
And they weren't beaten again. As I said, you get the feel they'll be right up there in the World Cup next year. And despite a couple of draws on the bounce in the past week, Germany are a wonderful nation and with one of the best records in the history in top international competitions for that reason. The French squad, though, you mentioned, the abundance of attacking talent they have is frightening. Whether they can gel, and which they clearly can gel, they're already in the World Cup, but whether they can really mix it with the best on the biggest stage, they've had their issues in World Cups over the journey, particularly this century. Obviously, they made a World Cup final in 2006, losing on penalties. But 2010, 2014, they've got plenty of room to improve. And with such a young, energetic, up-and-coming squad, they should be very confident going in. For me, one of the three favourites to potentially win the thing next year.
Yeah, I agree. So especially, as you mentioned, they're all still very, very young. And they've got so much quality, it's almost unbelievable. Like, if you can just play Mbappé, Lacazette, Martial, you still have Benzema. Then you've also got the likes of a bit underrated players, but maybe a Tolisso, who's playing his first
quality player.
Who's playing his first year like at Bayern Munich. There's a reason why Bayern Munich got him to the club, and obviously like a Griezmann. So if they can melt and if they can gel together, even like Varane, a great centre back. So they've got some great, great talent in that squad. So if they manage to actually gel together, they will have a very, very big word in the title race next year. I believe there's only a handful of nations who can win it. So it's, for me, it's like France, Germany, Brazil, Spain, a little bit of a smoky for me, but they're still a quality side. Iniesta is not as young as he used to be anymore, but they're still playing very, very well. And maybe there is always like one smoky that maybe advances to the semifinals, but really winning the World Cup is probably between like four or five nations, I'd say.
I'd say three, but you're right. There are a number who will contend. We will see who will win, but it's going to be an exciting time for these nations in the build-up, nevertheless. A couple of other big European nations in action, or some former giants, particularly Netherlands. Obviously now, disastrous time in their history, missing out on a World Cup on the back of missing out on the European Championships. They started life in this new generation, if you like. They had a 1-0 win away to Scotland a few days ago, and they've continued that good form, a 3-0 win away to Romania, to Depay, Babel and Luke de Jong scoring the goals. So I suppose that's a positive start for them.
Yeah, great start. I mean, no one really cares anymore. Right now in the Netherlands, it's like you just went out of the qualification race for the World Cup, and then you're playing these friendlies. I mean, I really want to know how much Italian fans would love to see a friendly next week against Romania. Probably no one would care. It's like devastation in the country, and so it is in the Netherlands. Obviously, you can start right now to rebuild. But, I mean, the goal scorers, as you see, Ryan Babel, he's not necessarily like a very young player. Luke de Jong, he's not a very young player anymore as well. So, and Depay. So, well, we have to see what's going to happen there in the similar situation as Italy. Things have to change. Dick Advocaat, the coach, already resigned right now. Maybe retired overall. I don't think he will get another coaching gig. So start from scratch. They will have to wait just as Italy for 5 years from now on. So they also need to get a committed coach, bring some young talent in, which they undoubtedly have, just like Italy, and then get the whole nation back on the right track, because Netherlands and Italy, they belong to the top of the world, and that's where they should be, and not like failing to qualify. So I think it's going to change, and surely those nations will be top of the world surely very soon again.
We hope. We want to see the best competing at the biggest tournaments, but not to be the case in 2018. A few other European nations who are will be at the World Cup. In 2018, we're in action as well. Iceland, a surprising one-all draw with the 2022 host Qatar. Russia and Spain, 3-3. As mentioned, Netherlands with that 3-0 win, although they're not even there. Belgium, a 1-0 win against Japan. Decent game. Very, very handy for the Belgians to get a positive result against Asia's best.
Definitely, and Lukaku just cannot stop scoring. He's pretty much scoring in every Belgium game, him and the likes of Eden Hazard. So I think, I don't know, but every time I check the results of Belgium in the last couple of weeks, Lukaku scored at least one. So he's definitely on fire, and at Manu as well. So on paper, we talked about Belgium before, but on paper is a great, great team. If they can gel as a team and put all the talent that they have on the pitch is another question.
Portugal 1, USA 1, and England and Brazil played out a nil-all draw. Of course, England taking on Germany and Brazil in an international friendly window. Not bad preparation for the 2018 World Cup, which, as always, there'll be high hopes for the English to do big things. We're off to a quick break, Matt. On the other side, we'll discuss the fallout from Italy as it continues in spades. Plenty going on there. We'll discuss the FIFA ranking and the FIFA seedings issue coming into the FIFA World Cup. That is all but confirmed now, with 30 of the 32 nations confirmed in the World Cup finals. Transfer news, a look at the domestic competitions, and a whole lot more. And just a reminder for all our Socceroos fans and Honduran fans out there, this evening, Socceroos and Honduras, live from 8 p.m. It's the second leg of the World Cup Intercontinental Playoff. Massive fixture. We've got a pre-game and post-game show right here on FNR Football Nation Radio, as well as a simulcast of the game, thanks to Fox Sports. That's all sponsored by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. We'll be back very shortly.
FNR Football Nation Radio. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You are listening to the Euro Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Let's continue with the fallout, Matt, from Italy's disastrous elimination at the hands of Sweden. I don't particularly want to discuss it, but I guess we have to, because there's plenty of news concerning everyone and anyone with absolutely anything to do with the national team over there in Italy. If there are any fans out there who'd like to have a voice and have your say, this is certainly the time. 99 44 99 99 is the number if you'd like to get on the line. If you prefer to text us, it's 0428 933 45, or you can just tweet us at FNR underscore radio. Matt, Giampiero Ventura landed back in Bari, his hometown, last night, and was escorted out the back door of the airport. Is that a fair? Are you happy that he's nice and safe back home in Bari?
Very happy. It doesn't surprise me at all, to be honest. It was always going to be a very, very tough run for him. I said it yesterday. He should definitely go on an extended holiday far away from Italy.
For a long time.
I don't think he will have a great life there in the near future. Just wait till it, like, all settled a little bit, and then maybe go back there, get a new haircut. No, obviously, it's not really funny. It's still football, but you can really, really understand why the Italian people are so angry.
Well, absolutely. And when will it end? It may not blow over for some time, because the after effects of this performance will be felt for potentially years and years to come. We discussed yesterday the ages of the current players. Obviously, a number of very, very experienced players who will not be able to pass that experience down to some of the impressive youngsters coming through, obviously with Gigi Buffon, Andrea Barzagli, Daniele De Rossi all calling time. The three remaining members from Italy's 2006 World Cup winning squad, Giorgio Chiellini as well, another veteran calling time on his international career. So suddenly, the Italians lacking some serious experience. Youngsters not going to get a taste in Russia of what it takes, meaning that the core of the Italian squad in 5 years' time in Qatar, should they get there, will be late 20s, early 30s with very, very little experience at a World Cup. And despite the 2020 European Championships to come, World Cup experience is invaluable, and especially the chance to learn under the tutelage of Buffon, De Rossi, Barzagli, who have certainly been there and done that over the journey. It's going to be a very, very difficult time. This is why I mentioned that the after effects may be damaging for some time.
Yeah, I agree. It's really invaluable. Just for me, if I have a look at Germany, like the devastating loss 2006, devastating loss 2010 as well. And then after like all these players went through all these very, very bad periods, then they won in 2014. So they took all the bad experiences on board from the two World Cups before, like the likes of the Schweinsteiger or Podolski and Klose. They had the experience to then know what to do in a World Cup final. I believe the only real positive about like Italy not qualifying right now is that there are no more excuses. If they would have just qualified right now, people would have probably said, it wasn't pretty, but we just continue our way. We somehow qualified, who cares how? But now it just became absolutely obvious that things have to change, not only in the trainer position, but also in the higher-ups, and the team needs to shake up as well. Obviously, some great, great players will retire. They're getting too old. But now it's an opportunity to actually start this new team, bring young players in, and let them play the Euros. It's not like a World Cup, but they're gaining experience with every single, even test matches. That's why they are so important. And then they will surely be ready. If it all goes to plan right now and they're doing the right thing, Italy, which I'm sure they will, they couldn't fail once more. So, and they have the talent. And I think they will be back stronger and better in 2022, which is a long time. But that is the big chance right now.
You're right. It does force their hand. And already the rumors have started. Ancelotti, it's further than a rumour that, but they are pursuing Ancelotti according to Sky Italia, which I think is a suitable appointment at the present time, so long as he's capable of committing for some time. We can't afford to see, for the Italian sake, a repeat of Antonio Conte, 2 years and moving on. Some are pointing the finger at Conte because he abandoned ship midway through a cycle, obviously a World Cup cycle. Obviously, had Conte still been there, this would not have happened, but it has, and as he said, it is timely given the fact that there were issues. They've been brought to the forefront now and change is required. So it could be timely, but Tavecchio, the president of the Italian Federation, unwilling to resign at the present time. Ventura, still not yet resigned, sacked, fired. He certainly will be, but he's still awaiting that payout, according to reports, which, given what he's done, is terrible. It is just, it's really, I said yesterday, it's pathetic, makes a bad situation worse, leaves a bitter taste in everyone's mouths. And look, realistically, I can never see him managing any side in world football again, certainly not in Italy. Paolo Maldini, of course, the former AC Milan legend, well, the forever AC Milan legend, has reportedly also been offered a role in the Italian Federation, or will be very shortly. He and Ancelotti, of course, have done wonderful things at AC Milan together over the journey. So perhaps an Ancelotti-Maldini reunion at Italian headquarters could be the catalyst for a bigger and better Italy into the future. Those ages that I mentioned, obviously some of them have already retired, as I said, but Florenzi, who's an up-and-coming Roma player, super young player, 31 he'll be in Qatar. Lorenzo Insigne, undoubtedly Italy's best player at the present time, technically 31 as well. Verratti, who for so long the Italians have been saying, let's build the team around Verratti. He's a world-class potential player. So much room to grow and improve. He'll be 30. Jorginho El Shaarawy, 30. Even Donnarumma, the next Gianluigi Buffon, who has had 100 caps at AC Milan by the age of 18, he'll be 23. So all of a sudden, you miss this cycle. Plenty of time still to work with what you've got, but that missing out on some invaluable experience under those veterans will be felt, no doubt. But nevertheless, they move on. The captain issue is another issue they'll have to decide, which I'm sure the new coach will come in to decide. Italy in this century have had three captains for 8 years at a time each over the late 90s and early 2000s. Leonardo Bonucci, Claudio Marchisio, two Juventus veterans. Bonucci, a former Juve veteran, of course, but now with AC Milan, a tip to be the two. Not much coming through in terms of leadership in the younger bracket there. So all of these questions that need time, and they will have time on their side, though, but they will take on Argentina in a friendly in March. So they will hopefully get things in order by then, and they can celebrate with a match against Argentina to kickstart the new generation of Italy. But certainly the darkest hour in their history, without doubt. Let's move on to those seeds at the World Cup. So there'll be no Italy, no Netherlands, a few other big nations around the world missing out. But let's focus on the European nations because we are here for the Euro show. Now, in pot one, so in terms of the seeding, pot one has been confirmed irrespective of the results in the Peru, New Zealand and Socceroos, Honduras fixtures. They're due to ranking. So Russia is hosts, and who, should New Zealand not qualify for the World Cup, will be in pot one as the lowest ranked nation in their home World Cup. They're locked in there, along with the top seven nations in the world in Germany, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Belgium, Poland and France. Now, Matt, we've discussed a number of times about the FIFA ranking system, the issues that it's caused in situations like this, whereby seeds, rankings, they don't correlate for me very well, but it's the only system they have in place to do this. When you have a team like Belgium and Poland, now Belgium, for me, one of the best 11s in the world without question, but only one World Cup appearance since 2002. Poland, no World Cup appearance since 2006. How do they warrant being in pot one when you have Spain, the 2010 world champions, in pot two?
Yeah, it doesn't at all. Obviously, when we look at pot one, first of all, becomes very obvious, only European and South American nations in there. So we are looking for Asian or African nations, and they're all further back. So that is the first thing that comes to mind. When you actually have a look at the rankings, first of all, for me, it's a joke that Russia as a host, they're number 65 in the world. Why are they in pot one? I mean, they're already guaranteed to participate in that World Cup, and that should never be in doubt. Like, the host nation should always be guaranteed to play in their home World Cup. But why in pot one? Like, they also should be guaranteed to play the opening game. It's a great spectacle. It comes right after the opening ceremony, and the fans should be able to actually see their team at the very first game. But pot one, they're 65. They're the lowest ranked nation so far, unless New Zealand will qualify, of the whole World Cup. So why they have to be in pot one for me is beyond me. Like, they're guaranteed group stage, which is fine, and then they can actually prove themselves in the group stage. But in pot one, yeah, I don't understand the system. How Belgium and Poland are in front of Spain, it's just beyond me as well. Even Switzerland at the moment, I would say, are better than Poland. And maybe not on paper, but as a team, they might be better as Belgium at the moment as well. So Belgium and Poland haven't really proven themselves on the big stage yet. So
you go through the whole list and they become more and more baffling, the FIFA rankings. But as I said, this is the system, so you can't blame the system. People all around the world from any nation are aware of what it takes. And look, you see Italy, for one, in the qualification for the World Cup qualifying in Europe, Italy were not seeded. And by not being seeded, that is what resulted in Italy falling into a group with Spain. That is what resulted in Italy ultimately going through to the playoff round and missing out. The French, they were also in pot two. It's not right, but friendly results do count towards the ranking, irrespective of who you play. As a result, these nations miss out. The only issue I do have with it, though, and this is where it translates into all the competitions that it has an impact on. I'll give you an example, like Romania. Romania were seeded in the qualification for the European nations because they, at the time, were the eighth best ranked nation in the world. Never, ever in anyone's lifetime ever have Romania been in the top 10, ever. And they were eight. They were number eight in the world. And as a result, were drawn into a group with Poland, Denmark, Montenegro, Romania themselves, Armenia and Kazakhstan, and finished fourth in that group. This is nothing to do with the Italians or the Dutch or any of the big nations who missed out. But Romania is a top seed, finished fourth, 12 points adrift of Poland in their qualification group. That is flawed.
Look, I'm not exactly sure if you as a nation, if you can actually schedule those games, but it can actually be used as, like, almost manipulative. If you're actually a small country and you're trying to qualify for the World Cup and you're trying to get a good seat, you just schedule games against San Marino, Andorra, no disrespect, Liechtenstein.
Certain
and
wins.
If you win all those games, like 5-6-0, all of a sudden you're number five in the world.
That's right.
So I'm not sure if it's actually working like that. If you as a nation can decide in the test and friendlies who you play, or if there's a certain system by the FIFA. But
I believe it is in the fact that no nations don't take advantage like that, playing nations of that quality. Mm. However, there is a way to manipulate the system, because FIFA have revealed that, and this is public for a long time now, that the ranking system is based on a mathematical system whereby the computers work out, put all the results together. Some are weighted a little higher than others. But at the end of the day, Italy is an example. I know off the top of my head, 5 wins out of 21 in friendly fixtures. They've had draws with Luxembourg, Haiti. That's another discussion. That's ridiculous. But not taking these fixtures as importantly as perhaps a Romania did, playing some weaker opposition in the lead-up to the draw for this, that is what ultimately separates the two. And again, it's not just the Italians. The Swiss, the French, Iceland, Denmark, they were all pot two, while a nation like Romania and even Wales. Wales, they were 10th at the time. Now, after one great run at one tournament, that does not warrant a 10th ranking in the world. It is a seriously flawed system that needs mending, because then what happens is that, as we see now in the lead up to the World Cup, Spain are in pot two. And not that that should jeopardize Spain, because Spain are a wonderful nation, and whoever they draw in pot one, whether it be Germany, Brazil or any of the others, they should feel confident that they will match them in some capacity. But what it does do is it really does disadvantage some nations who have historically been very strong.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's hope it will change a little bit with the UEFA Nations League coming into place next year. So it's actually a step towards the right direction, I guess. However, that's just the UEFA, obviously. So it's the European teams. But I think that is a step in the right direction. So you've got a group one and a group two and three and four. So you actually make sure that, like, the group ones don't always play like the nations from group four and win like 12-0. Also, I don't see the point of those games. Like, if you see, I understand that smaller nations are entitled to compete for a spot in the World Cup as well. But you can't really tell me that it's fun for a nation. Let's just take the example. I'm sorry, San Marino, but let's take the example, and they play the group stage. And one game in which there were like 2,500 fans in a, like, not really a stadium. It was more like a football pitch like we know here in suburban areas. There are like 2,000-3,000 people there, and they lose like 14-0. So where is the value for those players? I mean, they can say, hey, we played a great country, but they got beaten up 14-0. They're probably demoralized after that. And the players from the better countries go there and are like, oh, just let's not get an injury. I don't even care. Is it one or two-digit win? That's all they care about. And if it's not a two-digit win, people in those countries probably ask, hey, only 9-0? Yeah. I don't see any of those values. I think overall, there are way too many matches. Just a very quick one is away from this in the Champions League. Who wants to see Liverpool, Maribor 8-9-0? That is not the Champions League. It should be the champions. And those clubs and nations are not the champions. So it's, I understand they have an entitlement to play, but no one wants to see those matches. So it's very, very not uninteresting.
Absolutely not. Just confirmation of the other European nations in the pot. So Spain, as I said, in pot two, Switzerland, England, Croatia. Now, Denmark could be in pot two. That's going to depend on the Peru-New Zealand result. Should Peru win, Peru will be pot two. Denmark will drop to pot three. Also there, Iceland, Sweden are there. Serbia could be there as well. They'll need Peru to win against New Zealand. New Zealand to win against Peru, and they'll go into three. Otherwise, they're in pot four with a host of nations from right around the world. We're off to a very quick break. On the other side of it, we shift our focus back to the domestic competitions and some huge transfer news. Barcelona targeting an Atletico superstar. You'll hear it here first on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia and around the world, this is the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia with Adriano Del Monte. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call, 9944 9999 at any time. Well, let's move on to the domestic competitions, because our focus here on the Euro Show will be back to that now in coming weeks. Huge weeks coming up. There is the Champions League and Europa League returning next week. Of course, some huge games across Italy, Germany, Spain, France and more. And as always, transfer news aplenty, and we'll start there because I read a few reports out of Spain overnight and this morning, Matt, and it is suggesting that Barcelona, of course, full of money at the moment after that Neymar sale so late in the transfer window to Paris Saint-Germain. They did spend some on Dembele from Dortmund, but they are lining up a move for Atletico Madrid superstar Antoine Griezmann. So it is going to be an interesting summer ahead. He will obviously take part with the French national team at the World Cup. He's obviously a very, very wonderful player. Is he the sort of player, though, that Barcelona require at this time?
No, I don't think it is. But obviously, when you're at a position where Barcelona is at, there's not too many players who make your team better. So they're still waiting, obviously, for Dembele to get back from his injury. Well, 35 minutes ago, I'm reading right now from ESPN, it says Antoine Griezmann and Barcelona reportedly agree on a big money deal. Mm. So, well, if it's like that, well, I'm not sure. Like, obviously, 100 million euros is here in the article.
Which makes no sense. If they spent 105 on Dembele, Griezmann is much better and more experienced and proven. It just feels to me that they just want to spend without really thinking. He's obviously a super player, make no mistake about that. And he would obviously boost and benefit any squad, obviously, because he's full of talent. But is he the right investment at this time? I'd say no.
Nah, I don't think so either. I mean, he can operate in multiple positions across, like, their front line. Maybe particularly as a center forward, I guess, is his best position. But if you have a look at the quality they have in those positions already, with the Messi, with the Suarez, Dembele coming back as well, I'm not sure if it's the right move. Obviously, money-wise, it's sometimes hard to compare because Dembele, 18 years old at the time of the transfer, and a couple of months before, he actually signed a contract till 2022. So there were like more than 4 years of contract still to go. I'm not quite sure how long Griezmann is still contracted, but I'm sure it's not 4 years. So that would obviously increase the transfer fee. But will he be the player? I'm not sure. Like these big clubs, they even argue about like, oh, look, we're going to sell so and so many jerseys of Griezmann. That will give us some money back. They calculated that in as well. Real Madrid, when they got Ronaldo, they knew, are we going to sell so and so many jerseys and get some money back for it? I'm not convinced. For Griezmann, obviously a good step. Barcelona is the top club for me in Spain, at least at the moment. Obviously, Real Madrid winning the Champions League twice, but they're almost 10 points behind. Interesting deal this will be, but I'm not sure he's exactly the player Barca need.
We'll keep an eye on that one very closely. Let's switch over to a caller now. We have George on the line from Port Melbourne. George, welcome to the Euro Show.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Very well. How are you, George?
Yeah, hang on a second.
We're live on FNR Football Nation Radio with George from Port Melbourne. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, give us a call, 99-44-99-99. Are you back with us, George?
Yes, mate. Sorry, apologies.
Go. That's all right.
Just just following on from your questions you posed a moment ago, it appears to me that managers around the world just want to buy expensive players. It's not as if they want to build or construct a squad as they used to 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's a fair point. That's what I was sort of suggesting with Barcelona's approach here for Antoine Griezmann. It just feels like they've got money, they want to spend money, and they'll spend on whatever's available. And to be fair, there isn't really that much available at the present time. So, yeah, there seems to be a bit of investing without really thinking about the investment. I think that's a fair point, George.
Is it a case of maybe they need to get their tax returns in a hurry in order to get some of that money back?
I'm going to steer clear of the tax discussion, George. I don't want to get into any trouble.
Ronaldo's not happy. Ronaldo's not happy at Real. So I just wanted to mention taxation just to get you guys in that mood.
Well, thank you for that,
thanks,
George.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for your call, bye, George. Bye. If you'd like to get involved and put your point of view across, give us a call like George. 99-44-99-99. Matt, as I said, I won't be going down the taxation discussion path. We'll leave that for a few other experts. But Atletico, so should they sell Griezmann? Atletico have been rumouredly interested in Mertens of Napoli and Mesut Ozil, who's linked to everyone and anyone. And he will leave. Ozil will leave Arsenal, but who knows where. It's that cash flow now, because should the money exchange hands, then Atletico will be in the same position where they will need to spend. It's just interesting because there are so many potential players, but not really much is available at the moment. And Dries Mertens, I don't see him starting with Mertens. I don't see him leaving Napoli. They're building a wonderful project there. George, our caller, just mentioned that a lot of these clubs may just be spending for the sake of it without putting thought into their future plans. Napoli, I can say, are certainly a club who have built plans around their current squad.
Definitely. I really want Mertens to stay at Napoli. It would be great just to see a team that's actually built for a couple of years to actually succeed, and not one like Paris who just all of a sudden get the money and buy players and bring them in. And obviously they're all world-class players. The league is not that strong, so they're completely dominating. Just to a very quick point on George, I would disagree with him. Mm. To an extent, I agree. But overall, if you see all those big money moves of just like spending hundreds of millions of dollars and buying a big name, that's happening in Spain and England particularly. Yeah. So we haven't seen that really in the Bundesliga. I haven't seen top clubs, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, buying like players for 100 million just to bring a name in. Dortmund got Dembele for a couple of million, sold him for over 100. They got Pulisic for no money. Now he's a superstar. Yeah. And Bayern as well. They bought, back then it was a bit different, but they brought in like a Ribery, even a Lewandowski for no money from Dortmund. And in Italian clubs as well, if you have a good look at Napoli. So these big money moves are predominantly Real Madrid, Barca, PSG, then all the English clubs who have the money. And actually, to be honest, we see where the Premier League is right now. For me, not the top league in the world, so it doesn't always help.
You know, you're exactly right. And in fact, in Italy, there's only been one, and that was off the back of Paul Pogba's sale to Manchester United, where Juventus turned a free transfer into a 100 million euro transfer. They essentially reinvested that money to buy Gonzalo Higuain from Napoli, which was bizarre. It was bizarre. They spent 90 million on Higuain, which they had never done. And no Italian club really have done that, similarly to the German clubs, but they did, and it did pay off because he scored a bag of goals last season, and he's on his way to doing so again this time around. Now, just a few other quick transfer rumours and reports before we get to our final break. Gareth Bale, Real Madrid have put him up for sale, according to the leading Spanish papers. Manchester United, Chelsea, and a potential return to Tottenham are the three links at this stage. His Welsh national team boss Chris Coleman, though, has urged him to ignore offers from the Premier League, saying that the competition is too rough.
I mean, that is a joke. I mean, obviously he's injured a lot, but come on, it's not like they're breaking legs every weekend in the Premier League. They've got referees as well. I agree, it's maybe a bit tougher than Italy or Germany or even Spain, but surely if you're a professional football player, you should be able to play in every country. But hey, have you noticed something, like who's in the talk for Bale? It's English teams again, who are willing to spend the big, big money. It would be very, very surprising for me if like Bayern Munich, Juventus, or I don't know, Napoli would come forward now and be like, hey, 100 million for Bale. It's not
going to
happen.
No, he'll be going back to the Premier League if and when he leaves Real Madrid. And just finally, we mentioned Barcelona earlier. Their young midfielder, 23-year-old Spanish midfielder Denis Suarez, Napoli are potentially lining up a January move for him, which would be very interesting and a somewhat bizarre move. But look, he's a wonderful emerging talent, and for an emerging team in Napoli, could be a key player for the future. Well, we are off to our final break for the day here on the Euro Show. Back very shortly to wrap things up here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Another hour is gone here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. I'm back tomorrow from 1 p.m. with a full preview of the return of all the top flight competitions in Europe. But Matt, before we go, just looking ahead to a couple of the big ones. There are a couple of big ones Saturday night, Sunday morning local time in Australia for the Serie A teams. Roma-Lazio, the big Roman derby. Really excited about that. Two teams playing wonderful football. Napoli-Milan to follow that one as well.
Sunday morning, I know what I'm going to do. So 4 o'clock local time, Roma-Lazio, then followed by Napoli-Milan at 6:45. I love it when two great games are in one weekend and following each other. You can pretty much stay in front of the TV, watch it, and especially the derby, obviously. It's amazing. Let's hope there won't be any violence in and around the stadium, but both teams in red hot form. Let's hope for a great contest.
Of course, all the action in the Bundesliga and the La Liga, Ligue 1 as well. I'm not quite sure who PSG are playing this weekend, but looking forward to seeing them back in action, everyone returning from international duty.
Yeah, they're playing Nantes at home.
Oh, interesting game.
So fifth Nantes, 23 points. Well, on paper, you think it's
strong defensively.
Yeah, you think it's a pretty even game, but I still think at home PSG will win by at least 3 goals.
Good stuff, Matt. Well, exciting weekend ahead. As I said, full preview tomorrow on the Euro Show from 1 p.m. But that is all. We've run out of time today. Matt, thank you for joining as always. But for now, you've been listening to the Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.